yesterday we started taking a look at 1 John and tried to understand or put ourselves in the position of the churches that received it. And you see, you get the idea. But so I want to do 2 and 3 John this morning. Then we'll get back to Luke, hopefully, on next week. So go to 2 John. Second and Third John were probably written in either the late 80s or at the latest 90. So they're probably the two last things in the canon, if you will. And they're really interesting. So let's just read them instead of billboarding. The elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all they that have known the truth.
Are we in 3 John?
2 John.
Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you.
Got it?
I do not.
Now, the elect lady is a metaphor for the church. He's not talking to a particular woman. He's talking to the elect lady. That Seder, that community. Whom I love in the truth, and not only I only, but also all they that have known the truth. For the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us, and shall be with us forever. Grace be with you, mercy and peace, from God the Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. He's emphasizing the word truth.
I am sorry, but I don't seem to have
second epistle of John.
Oh, I'm on the first epistle.
We have to do sword drills. So remember, this issue of truth from God's perspective is everything. I mean, all men say they're truth seekers at some time. Well, I'm just seeking the truth. And just for repetitive purposes, Abraham, the father of the only three monotheistic faiths, was the first to identify and know what truth was. It was that which doesn't change with time, place, or circumstance. And that is everything in terms of the mystery of God. So now, verse 4. I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father. And now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment, that as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. For many deceivers are entered into the world, who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist, or instead of Christ. Just think about that. Many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is the deceiver and the antichrist.
Are the implications on the word confess the way they live or what they say?
Well, it's both. Yeah. They remember, the instead of Christ will confess that he will come in the flesh and that he did come in the flesh. But it's only God, the only truth, can confess he is come in the flesh.
So if they're saying
Right, because they're dead.
And it's a spontaneous life. It's the life of Christ. If they don't say this, then they have to preach rules and regulations and do's and don't do's.
Remember, you're taking notes.
That.
No, I agree. That's what happens.
Yeah.
The other thing that happens, it has to happen because it's the way of the nature of the beast. Not only do they cannot confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, but they live as though there were two different worlds. There was a spiritual world and a secular world. And they live in two different domains. And in doing so, I'm not going to mention any names, but there's a certain Nazarenes are famous for this. Their business tactics are just, they're worse than anybody. Because they lie and steal, but that's not their that's not their spiritual life. That's their secular life. There's many others that do the same, but so the danger of not confessing he is come in the flesh creates Pharisees by definition. All right. In verse 7 again, for many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. And if there come any unto you, and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds. Anybody understand that? Don't receive him into your house even. But here, it's the house, it's a symbol for the church. Don't receive him into the church. Anyway, having many things to write unto you, I would not write with paper and ink, but I trust to come unto you and speak face to face, that our joy may be full. The children of thy elect sister greet thee. Amen. So, the emphasis of 2 John is on the deceivers that confess not that he is the Christ, that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. They can confess he did come and that he will come.
I'm just thinking about how that plays out in life, where a guy comes, you're not going to stop him at the door because you don't know what he thinks. So he comes in. And he's a part of you for a certain amount of time, and then when he speaks, he reveals himself. And that's when the elders meet, or whatever mechanism.
Well, he's talking mostly not about somebody that's new and believes some stupid thing. He's talking here about the roving evangelists, or teachers. So it's not talking about some new believer that comes in and as some doctor. He's talking about people that teach it.
The darn televangelist, huh?
Yep.
Okay.
All right, now the 3 John. This was written probably from Ephesus, written probably a few months after the 2 John. And he was, at this time, the most revered. But he and one other guy in the whole of the church. He was the most revered because he was the last apostle left at this time. There was another guy that was revered almost as much. And that was the soldier, the centurion, that if you believe what all these ancient writings, he took that sword, and the confusion, and there's earthquakes and all kinds of stuff going on. He took that sword, he retired, and left for the south of France, where he was from. And he became a huge leader in the church. I mean, it was like bigger than Billy Graham. Unfortunately, there are none of his writings that came. I'd love to see the, you know, because he had glaucoma. And so he was a famous, as the story goes, he was a famous centurion. He had won many medals. But he got, eye disease, cataract. Or when you get the film over your eyes, what's that called?
Pterygma or cataracts.
Correct. Is that right, John? Cataracts?
I don't know. All those things do that.
Anyway, he had something that caused his sight not to be good. And so he didn't want to retire, so they sent him to this godforsaken place from their standpoint, this little desert place in Israel. And then he became, well, anyway, we can go on and on and on about him. Okay. The elder unto the well-beloved Gaiasus, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. Now, this is the touch scripture for all of this, the health and wealth, the whole theology that's spreading across the world right now. The idea that God wants you to be healthy and happy and prosperous, and that's why he died, so you could be happy. But the word prosper here is the word in Greek that means have a successful journey. The idea that you would reach the mercy seat, have a successful journey, not get rich. So, are you okay, John?
Yeah.
You look like you're not engaged to me.
Sorry.
Huh?
Sorry. Listen.
All right. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. For I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in truth, in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. So this idea of truth is just permeates both first, second, and third John. Walk in truth. Walk in truth. I mean, it's not giving any importance to anything that changes with time, place, or circumstance. All right.
It's interesting. This dovetails perfectly with 2 John.
Mm-hmm.
Coming in the flesh versus.
All right. Yeah. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well, because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. Just think about that. I mean, Paul condemned Nicholas. What did he say? Who are the other ones? Hymogenes, Philetus, by name. Anyway, let's just...
So these would be the ones that preach, is come, will come, or will come, did come.
Or something, but they're not walking in. It's not the doctrine that we've been delivered into.
Yeah.
Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. Demetrius hath good report of all men, and of the truth itself. Yea, and we also bear record, and you know that our record is true. I had many things to write, but I will not with ink and pen write unto thee, but I trust that I shall shortly see thee, and we shall speak face to face. Peace be to thee. Our friends salute thee. Greet the friends by name. Now, let's go to 1 John chapter 4. Here again, it's this idea. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits to see whether they of God. Now here, we've talked to this many times. A spirit here is anything without a body in this context. So a spirit is a thought or a word. So if your thoughts must be infused with the same thing that he's talking about here. That's casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Because, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world, and every voice in your head is a false prophet. That's your Sanhedrin, the 70. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, who you have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. I mean, the emphasis on this is mind-bending. It produces, what this produces is that you cannot, the whole life becomes automatic because you've ended up ignoring everything of your mind, because it doesn't ever confess that he has come in the flesh. And that, so the fruit of it is faith.
So to try the spirit is to hold it up against truth.
Right.
And that's not even hard to do.
No. And the more you do it, the more you start ignoring all the voices. And the battle is not, it's gone, because of every time you hear the voice, it's a repentance. And then you slowly but surely, you ignore all those voices. They are meaningless. It's just static in the world. And he's saying, and again, all the things that we've talked about, every time you breathe in, you're breathing in the Spirit, you exhale you. And that's, it's automatic, and you start seeing it everywhere. All the trees that are falling, the leaves falling, remind us our fall from his presence. That one tree that's supposedly the healthiest still has all its leaves on, even though the leaves are turned. That, and from the world standards, that's good. From God's standpoint, that's evil. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And the one that's in you is Jesus Christ. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. That's, can you think of a more, can you think of a more arrogant statement than that? He that heareth God, I mean, excuse me. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit. Let's just go emphasize on one verse. In verse 15, whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, God in him, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect. Be fully tested, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in the world. The thing that just drives me nuts, and if any of you have a parallel Bible which shows the different versions, both in 1 John and 2 John and 3 John, where it says, believe that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, and has come. That's the translations that most people are using in the church. No wonder they don't see. They try to make the translations, try to make it understandable to the human mind. It can't be understood by the human mind.
That seems righteous, though.
Huh? You know,
it seems righteous because you hear people say it. Oh, yeah, right. You want people to understand. Huh. It seems like a good thing. People agree and then they do it.
And go to one more verse real quick. Chapter 5, verse 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat loveth also loveth him also that is begotten of him. In other words, there's no effort. There's no should or ought to. It's a what is. If you love God, you'll automatically love those that are born of God. It's as natural as breathing. All right, that's enough on 1 John. Okay, anybody have any other thoughts? Take it, big guy.